For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
6'2", 225 out of Pitt. He was a fifth round selection by the Bills. He's 29 years of age, and his career statistics are he has 160 attempts, not 85 out of 160, 53.3% completion percentage, 712 passing yards, four touchdowns against 13 interceptions, and he has a QB, he has a rating of 39.4 as a quarterback. So once again, not much, not a lot. He has 15 games played in the NFL in his six-year career, and he has four touchdowns against 13 interceptions. So not a very good touchdown-interception ratio to be happy about. But once again, the Saints felt comfortable with Janoco, who I mean, with Nate Peterman, who worked with Janoco, as I just read, and also Peterman was a quarterback that backed up Derek Carr in Oakland for, I think, two seasons. So there go those Raider ties. People are like, why would he do that, Q? Well, I mean, he's a former Raider, and that's obviously the game plan, is to just keep collecting old Raiders coaches and players. And when we can, we give Raider old executives an opportunity, or management people an opportunity to help us with the team. So that's what we do. We just go and collect old Raider people and bring them on the team and say, you want a job? Well, you got to be a Raider to be here. So we just kind of do that, bring them on. So whatever Raider guy that's out there, probably Hunter Renfrow or whatever, they might actually, you know, I don't think Hunter Renfrow might be the guy, but you never know. You never know with these guys. And of course, probably the best of the free agents that we're brought in so far is Willie Gay Jr. New Orleans, a former Kansas City Chief, agreed to a one-year deal. The Saints need linebacker depth with just three on the roster, and Gay played significant snaps as a starter with the Chiefs in the Super Bowl win against the Niners. They had a lot of success going to well for the former Kansas City Chief, signing Tyrann Mathieu, passing Yo and Colin Sanders, so it makes sense to add another one to the roster. Now, Gay could quickly be a solid addition next to DeMario Davis or Pete Werner. Now, what's the risk? Not much at all. One-year deal. They don't have any cap hits for the Saints, and Gay is only 26 with the potential to play a second contract. He missed the Super Bowl during the 21 season with an injury and was suspended four games in 2022 for violating the NFL personal conduct policy due to an arrest for misdemeanor criminal destruction of property. However, he played the entire season for the Chiefs last year and has started 47 games in his career. Now, a lot of people like this pick because Willie Gay is a solid linebacker with a lot of athleticism. He could perhaps help the Saints if they decide to run a 4-3 look, or if they, you know, for whatever reason they want to adjust linebackers and whatever. But he's a guy that can bring a, he brings a lot of athleticism to him. He's a solid linebacker. Once again, he's an upgrade over Zach Bond. He's, you know, he's a big time upgrade over Zach Bond. But like I said, this is a good solid linebacker in terms of depth and as a backup linebacker, because the Saints really, the majority of the time, operate with two linebackers. And Willie Gay won't be two of the linebackers that's out there unless one of those two are injured. So it's a good depth signing to help him, you know, kind of help with the linebacker room in case of injury to one of our starters. So that is a positive as well. So we also talk about there was other signings as well. You know, Xander Horvath. We covered that before. But this is pretty much the guys right here we're dealing with currently. So, and my thing is this, and we're going to keep it going, man. We're going to talk about some other stuff, but as we keep going and moving along, these are the signings so far for the Saints. And a lot of people, Stanley Morgan, Gene, they couldn't even find a picture for him on this article because this is Cedric Wilson here. So, I mean, you have guys like Stanley Morgan, who is probably a really cheap addition to the Saints, just a depth piece for the Saints to add there. Cedric Wilson is the veteran that brings, some abilities there. I've never been really excited about Cedric Wilson's game, just to be honest with you. I've seen him play for the Cowboys. I've seen him play for the Dolphins. Have never been really that excited about Cedric Wilson. I'm going to be honest with you. And it's not like for a lack of familiarity. I am familiar with who this guy is. And, you know, like I said, his game is not really any, you know, something to be like, oh, man, we got Cedric Wilson, bro. We about to do some stuff. Nah. I don't see it like that. It's like when I heard it, I was like, oh, all right. Yeah, okay. We got a veteran, whatnot. That's how I got it. That's how I felt about it. With nothing excited to me about getting him. But outside of that, he does give you somebody with 6 years with NFL experience to come in and kind of help out, provide some depth there as well. Got a good size for him. You can move him around the field. He has pretty decent hands. He got pretty decent speed. So he can be an asset to the Saints. Now, is that an upgrade? Is that an upgrade from what we had before? But we wasn't seeing very much of Mike over the last several years. So just to have somebody out there blocking and catching the ball could be a positive for the Saints offense. And of course, you know, like I said, this could be a positive for A.T. Perry, because if A.T. Perry want to take that next step, he might get an opportunity here, you know, to kind of, because really that'll be knocking on his minutes. If you bring, you got Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, and you bring Cedric Wilson Jr. here, you might look and you'd be right now currently looking at those guys, and depending on what the Saints do in the draft or whatever, but still and all, you could be looking at these guys being your top three wide receivers versus A.T. Perry might get an opportunity. If he prepares correctly with his size and his ability, he might be able to kind of see if he can give him a run for his money, so to speak. You know what I mean? But the Saints do add Wilson Jr. and Morgan to their wide receiver depth chart, which gives them some, you know, gives them two more wide receivers than what they have, and do provide guys who Morgan does have some speed and plays special teams. That's a plus. And Cedric Wilson's a veteran that's seen some different systems that can come in and help what needs to be done. So, like I said, not exciting names. One guy is not very well known outside of here, you know, with all this kind of stuff. And Cedric Wilson's just and then Nate Peterman is the ultimate, okay. Why that guy? Not, you know, rated connections, that kind of stuff. So like I said, right now, if I had, and Willie Gay Jr. is probably my favorite of the moves. Xander Horvath is also another guy the Saints did pick up as a fullback. They did sign Adam Prentice back to provide depth and competition with Xander Horvath. I watched some film on him. I actually like Xander Horvath a lot better than I originally did. I think he has some abilities there. He has a lot of abilities there that the Saints could use if they have the proper imagination. Outside of that, like if I overall look at all of the Saints moves so far, and like I said, this is just thus far up to this moment. We still need to, we probably going to hear something about Chase Young over the next several days of whether or not the Saints going to add him to the team or whatnot with the $8.6 million they currently have over the cap. But the reality is this, I'm looking at this as more of a, I would say this is a C right now. That's what I would give it right now. Willie Grant Gay is a good move. Cedric Wilson is an okay move. So I have to give it like a C+, maybe a C plus somewhere in there. That's where I'm at with it. That's my feeling on it right now. You know, and it could change. Like I said, there's still a lot of time left in the free agency process as we move into the next layers of it. So I have to say about that. All right, so anyway, let's move into the next topic of discussion, which is the 49ers signing cornerback Isaac Yiddum to a one-year deal. So the 49ers pick up on Isaac Yiddum and the Saints lose a solid cornerback who they were able to bring around. Now, Yiddum, it was a big difference from Yiddum last year and a year before that. He actually turned into a pretty solid cornerback with Joe Woods. Joe, whatever Joe Woods was doing, it worked because he had him playing with a lot of confidence. He was actually turning around, locating the ball, and making plays on the ball. The previous year, he didn't have the confidence to turn around and locate the ball. He got a lot better to the point where people noticed him and he got a contract. So Yiddum impressed numbers last year. He was third in the NFL in tight window rate. Per Next Gen Stats, Yiddum allowed 38.5% completion percentage on 39 targets, only 5.1 yards per target. He gave up 15 completions compared to 16 pass breakups. A season ago, he's predominantly an outside cornerback. This would suggest the team wants that Lenore, who is one of their guys, to play inside. So you see that connection right there. So Yiddum played 50% of the snaps last year for the Saints. He played 55% of his snaps in man coverage and shadow receivers half the time as well. He was among the top 20 cornerbacks in receptions and yards allowed last season. He was fifth in man coverage success rate. So there you go. He played 267 snaps on special teams last year for the Saints. And the 49ers says, hey, man, we like his size. We like where this guy is headed. Let's go ahead on and give him a one-year deal. So Yiddum, as he heads on over to the 49ers. How about that? Also, a little restructuring this happened prior to the cap situation we seen was that offensive tackle James Hurst agreed to rework his contract as well. He agreed to rework the contract. A new deal lowered his salary from $3 to $1.2 million with $1.5 million roster bonus. The move also lowered his cap hit from $6.5 million to just under $3 million, giving the Saints more breathing room. And as you said, you know, as you know, they're over 18, they're 18.6 plus. And he signed with the Saints back in May 2020. And then March 21, he signed a three-year contract extension during his 4 years. Hurst has proved how valuable his versatility is, playing at the left guard, right tackle in a total of 60 games with 51 starts. So there you go with Hurst. And ultimately, like I said, Hurst has been a solid offensive lineman for the Saints for some time now. But the reality is Hurst is wearing down. You know, you can see that he is not quite the same offensive lineman he used to be, and you need to find some help, not only at the left tackle position, but at the left guard as well. And people talk about Nick Saldivari. We don't know what that is. We don't know what Nick Saldivari is going to do. He was hurt last year. I know he was pretty decent of an offensive lineman in college, but we still, you can't totally always count on that. You still got to have some depth right there and some competition there. So Hurst, and then, of course, you got Trevor Penning, who still, what do we do with Trevor Penning? That's also something that needs to be found out for the Saints. So perhaps they have a plan in their head for while, you know, currently are, and it's like I said, still time left. Why are we not looking at offensive line depth pieces right now as opposed to trying to find wide receivers, lesser known wide receiver folk, you know? So anyway, that's a question I like, okay, well, you know, we'll see what the plan is as we keep it moving and shaking. So you never know with these people. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know what I mean? Anyway, let's keep it going, fam. Let's move into this. National View of the New Orleans Saints offseason news. And this came from Bob. He wrote this in mid-February. So shout out to Bob Rose. And this is what he talked about with the Saints heading into this time of the year. As the Saints have their 14th selection and missing the playoffs for the third consecutive year, what do the Saints, and these are some of the, just to remind the family members of some of the needs. And this is what he listed. Edge, wide receiver, offensive tackle, cornerback, and defensive tackle. The Saints have veterans at many key positions, but even former top picks or value free agents could see rookies in a rearview mirror pushing them for playing time. The team also decided whether to move on from Michael Thomas, in which they did, and signed through next season, but has played in just a total of 20 games since 2022. So Michael Thomas is gone. Jameis Winston is gone currently since, you know, this was wrote mid-February. And this is what we're facing. This is some of the things. So Bob has listed the edge rushers as one of the top needs the Saints have. And he astutely mentions that because of the fact that the Saints had 30 something odd sacks last year, which was, you know, they need to get that number up. Wide receiver position is also something you're looking at, because out of all the wide receivers that were out there, we were looking at somebody, you know, that the Saints can go out and get that still can, you know, that's a player that, you know, I ain't looking for a name brand player, but somebody that, you know, can get the damn job done. And there are guys out there that I thought, you know, that you can go and look at that, you know, that might have a name, and they got a name because they have some goodness in them. They're pretty good. And that's how you recognize some of those folk and bring them in and help them out. But they did add two wide receivers to the fray. And then, of course, you got offensive tackle, cornerback, and defensive tackle. You know, my list doesn't quite shake out that way, even though edge rusher is important. And you can see the Saints chasing Chase Young right now, if that's the thing, looking in, talking to him about whatever they need to talk to him about getting him in here to get the sacks up. But really, like I said before, and I'll say again, when you have a new offensive coordinator coming in here and you're several days into free agency, you're about to switch into the second levels of free agency now, you have to figure out a way to try to be able to improve your offensive line. You know, we can't just lock in and say, well, we're going to draft them. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's supposed to be a happy mixture of both. So I'm like, a lot of really good offensive linemen, tackles and guards have come off the board in the first several days of free agency. Smith, the former Cowboy, he got signed to the Jets. You had the guy from Cincinnati who was a free agent. He was signed to somebody. So you got a lot of offensive tackles.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tackle that's just leaving, and we have not sniffed or even said or talked to any offensive lineman, to my knowledge. There's nothing on that. It's everybody else, no offensive lineman. So they got to have a plan there, especially when you bring in a new offensive coordinator. You got a whole new system. That means that you're going to have offensive linemen to be able to be mobile enough to run that system. Currently speaking, do you really have that? Do you have that? In my estimation, I don't think you have that. But they're looking everywhere else right now. They opened up free agency talking to Avante Maddox. Then they got Willie Gay as a third linebacker. It's pretty much what Willie Gay is. He's the third linebacker. He's a backup linebacker because they only play two. They start two. They very rarely run the 4-3 system. So that doesn't mean they'll run it more, perhaps, but not more than the base system they've been using for the last several years. And then, you know, like I'm saying, there's different moves in the backup quarterback. That could have been something that could have, you know, could have been a trade or something. You know, I don't know. But in the end, what I'm saying is there's, to me, edge rusher is important. These other positions are important, but your offensive line, you need help. You don't have a blindside tackle in your quarter. You don't have a blindside tackle currently. Your left guard is getting old to the point where his name is his brand. You got to put him in a hearse to get him on out of here sooner or later because he's breaking down. You got a guy, an experienced offensive lineman, as backups currently. You see what I'm saying? We don't need to have another Max Garcia here. Can we just miss me on Max? Max was awful. And then, of course, you got Trevor Penning. He's as a backup, and you don't know what's going to go on with him. You know, they just shelved him, pushed him all the way down into the lowest depths of the active roster offensive line wise. So, you know, new offensive coordinator, the real important aspect of you got to get a line. And I really don't think that they currently are equipped with that line. So the philosophy, it appears to be to attack the draft, or are you waiting to get lesser known offensive linemen in here to kind of help you out? So we're going to see what's going on. But currently right now, like I said, that's why I gave them like a C. You know, a C grade, because I mean, it's, you're doing something. You can't see the Q, they're not doing nothing. You're doing something. But when you start to break it down, you know, is it really having like a big impact on the team in terms of, okay, this is something that we need to do. Like some of these moves that are being made are like the wide receiver position and all that. I was kind of looking at more of I don't want to make Cedric Wilson seem like he's not talented. But y'all know what I mean. I was looking for, because there's a lot of wide receivers out there that you can bring in that are a lot more productive than Cedric Wilson is. I'm just going to keep it real, which I mean, there are a lot of the wide receivers that are currently available that are more productive. You know, they have more potential than that can really change the dynamic of your offense than Cedric Wilson will. You know, if they see him as the veteran of the group or the third wide receiver, that is. I'm not trying to disparage the man. I'm just saying, you know. All right, so anyway, let's keep it going. There also wasn't much question about Michael Thomas. Will he be back? Nope. He's gone. Wideout isn't necessarily the big need that Reuters suggesting. It's not Bob, but Bob's just quoting what the Reuters reporters are saying. The Saints have game breakers. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed got a promising performance from 2023 six-round choice A.T. Perry, assuming Thomas isn't back, and he wasn't. Anyone who's watched the Saints over the last two seasons would realize that cornerback is not a need. Yes, the Saints were a bit vulnerable in the slot, but this is a strong position on the team. Even if Lattimore was surprisingly traded, highly unlikely, the Saints would still have Paulson, Adebo, Alante Taylor, and even Isaac Yiddum, if he resigned, which he didn't. We just covered that. He went to the Niners. So a slot specialist is possible, which would explain why the Saints were having conversation with Avante Maddox. So, but low on the list of priorities for a defense that ranked near the top of the NFL in pass defense and interception, despite the lack of pass rush. So Bob keeping it real. Defensive tackle was another curious listing. Brian Bercy, first round choice last season, showed the potential of a first rounder, all pro. Yeah, he's talking about him. Nate Shepard, Colin Saunders, and Malcolm Roach formed a solid, if not spectacular, rotation. Roach is unrestricted, which does thin the Saints out if he's not resigned, which he wasn't. He ended up going to Sean Payton and Denver for 2 years at $8 million. So Roach is the guy. So the Saints can either go to the free agency and find a defensive tackle and bring him in, a veteran defensive tackle, or they can pick up one late in the draft or find someone during the draft, you see. Saints had just 34 sacks last season. That's the fourth fewest in the NFL. The defense contributed only to 16 sacks and just 25 of the team's 70 tackles for loss. This was a breakout season for Curl Grandison with 8.5, 14 tackles for a loss, a dynamic disruptive presence and definitely needed up front. End is the bigger need, but the Saints would also add a dynamic interior rusher if the difference maker at end isn't available. Now, like we talked about it, you know, in some cases, and you know, and if you have a guy or a team that's desperate enough, you know, they'll add extra pieces. Are the Saints desperate enough to keep going after defensive ends in the draft? I don't know. I don't think so. Like when you look at Peyton Turner and Isaiah Foskey, that was a first rounder and a second rounder, not in the same year, of course, but several years apart. But if the Saints are looking at Chase Young, that shows you that they feel like, hey, man, we need to get something going right here. And Chase Young is not going to be cheap. He's not going to be cheap. But if the Saints feel like that, then they'll make Chase Young. Me personally, when I first seen the Chase Young thing, I was like, okay, what's this all about? Well, we know they want it, but kind of desperation to make them do different things. Like you think about Cam and where Cam is positioned. How would he fit into that? Sooner or later, they'll try to, you know, they'll slide Cam inside. They'll do whatever they feel that they got to do. Even if Cam don't have as many reps as he did in the past, if you pay Chase Young big money, he's going to start. Curl Grandison got big money. So that definitely kind of pushes Cam down. And even though Cam, he's getting guaranteed paper. So they'll figure a way to kind of cap him on that deal. So this was a change because I didn't think they would do this. This is a bit of change for the Chase Young thing. But them going after him with all the resources, all the money they threw at everybody else. But this is a bit of desperation, and sometimes desperation to make you break that rhythm that you've been, that same pattern that you've been doing, because you ultimately have to figure out to do something else. And this is, I got to give them credit for at least breaking the pattern, because they've been doing the same dumb shit for a while now under Dennis Allen. So at least this is something different. So Rude has overlooked a few much bigger needs, the wide receiver, cornerback, even defensive tackle. We already know mention offensive guard above, safety, a two-way tight end, and an off-ball linebacker to complement 35-year-old Demario Davis, which is Willie Gay Jr. coming in. Interesting enough, Reuters has had the Saints ignoring the top two needs with their first two picks in the first mock round. They had the Saints drafting wide receiver Romy Odunze and Michigan's Zach Zinter in the first two rounds of this mock draft published on February 11. Odunze would certainly be a big body playmaking threat to the offense, while Zinter would provide much needed upgrade inside of the Saints offensive line. So could that be something that they're looking at as well? So like I said, when we talk about need to the team, and I kind of went back to that because we don't want to lose focus on what we need to be doing as a team. Like, we're looking at the needs of the team, and you can rank them however you want, but in terms of the most important needs to your team, like, I don't know, offensively speaking, you got to have that line together, and you don't have a left tackle. And to me, if you don't have a left tackle and your quarterback's right-handed, that's the biggest need to me. You got to fortify that. You got to find somebody to fill in that position. And for agency, a lot of the top offensive linemen that would fill that position are off the board. So what that's telling me, and I could be wrong here, is that the Saints might be looking at going to draft to fill a couple of these positions. So if that is indeed the case, that would be interesting to have rookie offensive linemen protecting Derek Carr, who at times didn't want to seem to, you know, run because he said he was hurt. So, you know, want to get his ribs and all that kind of stuff. You don't be uncomfortable. All right, so anyway, like I said, man, let's keep it moving. Let's get into this discussion here as we continue to go. Let's delve into the NFC South, man. Let's kind of do a quick recap on what's going on in your NFC South family. We'll start with the dreaded, stinking, rotten Atlanta Falcons, right? We'll start with them first. And of course, we talked ad nauseum about them getting Kirk Cousins' 4-year deal, $180 million, $50 million signing bonus, just to put his name on the contract. He got $50 million. He also has $100 million of the $180 guaranteed, including $90 million for 24 and 25 and another $10 million in 2026. That's right, boys and girls. That's with a $90 million in 2024, 25 and 10 and 26, $100 million guaranteed for Kirk Cousins. It's a lot of money to spend, but at the end of the day, was it a solid upgrade signing for the Atlanta Falcons? And it was. It gives them a veteran quarterback that is not a gunslinger, more cerebral than most, but is a guy that knows how to distribute the ball properly to talented players on the field. The Falcons realize they got several talented forces all around the offense. They got a solid offensive line. They got two really good running backs in Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. Wide receiver Drake London is going to be a phenom, as he performed very well for them last year. And they are flanking him with other talented wide receivers. Darnell Mooney to go along with Drake London, along with Kyle Pitts, who just needs to stay healthy. They are putting together a very good team, and they're giving Cousins weapons, even though we know that their running attack is something that they're going to rely upon next year. But remember, Raheem Morris is the new coach there. They'll be bringing the Rams offense there with all that stuff that I just said. And then the NFC South, what have they done since the Carr signing? Well, I mean, the Cousins signing. Well, they signed four wide receivers. Ray McCloud, who's a speedster who can help him out in special teams. They signed Darnell Mooney, the former Tulane wide receiver who was with the Bears, very productive. He signed almost a $40 million deal with 26 guaranteed to help out Cousins opposite of Drake London. They traded for Rondale Moore, another talented wide receiver from the Cardinals, in exchange for Desmond Ridder. So they took their quarterback, who they couldn't do nothing with, and shipped them for a wide receiver to help Kirk Cousins out. So they got Ray McCloud. They also added Kadarius Hodge, who's a re-signing player, and they added new players. So Ray McCloud, the former Niner, Darnell Mooney from the Bears, and Rondale Moore. So they gave him three wide receivers who have a good degree of speed to help speed up things, along with Drake London and the rest of those guys. So it's Kirk, you know, Kyle Pitts. So they are putting together a pretty interesting unit of players. They also signed a backup in Charlie Warner, which is the tight end. They got Storm Norton, who used to be our offensive lineman. He resigned with the team, and they got their long snapper signed with them. So as you can see, they're Kirk Cousins, and they kind of loaded up with wide receivers to kind of help out, to kind of flank Drake London. So very interesting for the Atlanta Falcons. And you got to give the Falcons a high grade for at least swinging for the fences, attempting to change, because these are upgrades. These are upgrades based on what they have, to be honest with you. Next team, Carolina Panthers. The Panthers have been doing a lot of stuff, family. I don't know if y'all been keeping tabs on the Carolina, but Carolina knew they had an issue with the offensive line. So what did they do? They went to the offensive line. They got a new head coach there in Kanellis, who used to be the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's now running the Carolina Panthers. And what did he do? He spent $100 million on 5 years for Robin Hunt to bring him there, the former Dolphin. And of course, Damian Lewis, they gave him a 4-year deal at $53 million. So what did they do? They just signed two. Well, not just, but a couple days ago, several days ago, they signed two starting level offensive interior guards, you know, to help protect and run the ball to help out Bryce Young. So they improve upon the line with veterans. They also made a trade. They sent their 7th round pick to 40 in exchange for Dante Jackson and a 2024 6th round pick for Deontay Johnson, who's super productive with the Steelers. This guy was a guy that has speed. He runs pretty good routes. He catches whatever you send to him. He's phenomenal. He has had really good statistics in Pittsburgh. He'll flank Adam Thielen. That's also, you know, they got a lot of talent is what I'm saying, man. And Johnson's a veteran wide receiver that'll flank Adam Thielen. And this will give another weapon to Bryce Young to throw to. So you protect him up front with an offensive line. You had a complement wide receiver with him, a veteran guy that can help. And they didn't stop there. They went defensive to try to improve their defense. A'shaun Robinson, the former Alabama defensive end, signed a 3-year deal to be on their defensive line. They added Kalavion Chason, who's a former LSU guy on a 1-year deal for $5 million, who's an edge guy that is pretty good at getting to the quarterback. He used to play for the Jags. And then you had another edge guy, DJ Wonnum, who they're showing like they want to convert him to a linebacker or something like that. We'll see. A 2-year deal at $14.5 million. I remember they signed DJ Wonnum after Chase Young left. They signed both DJ Wonnum and Kalavion Chason to deals after Chase Young left. And they said one of them gets 14 and a half, and they said 5 for Chason, which basically breaks down to 19. So they got two edge guys, athletic guys for just under $20 million.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.